entered into the imagination of the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is trying to help you to know, as active an imagination as you have, as brilliant a mind as you have, listen, nobody, no eye, no human being has yet been able to imagine what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be all that and a bag of chips. Is that how they say it?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In this message entitled The Final Curtain, Pastor Brian Grant will conclude his series on Bible prophecy entitled Where on Earth Are We Headed? We at the Germantown Christian Assembly trust that this series has been an encouragement to all of our listeners, and it is our fervent hope and prayer that all will be ready. We invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, and join us as Pastor Grant begins this message entitled The Final Curtain. Here's Pastor Grant.
This morning, my friend, this is your opportunity to talk to God. This is your opportunity. You say, this is your opportunity to talk to God and say, Lord Jesus, I am so glad that you are willing to save me. I am so glad you are willing to forgive me. I'm going to ask you to do that today. My friend, I hope some of you will do that. I hope some young person, I've always said, as a 9-year-old young man, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And do you know one of the reasons I got saved, the primary reason I got saved, is because I did not want to land in hell. But I want to tell you, being a Christian, what a wonderful life. What a wonderful life. But second, this final judgment includes every unsaved person. Did you notice it says the dead, great and small, all social classes are included. Doesn't matter who you are. Verse 13 tells you, the sea gave up the dead that were in it. It doesn't matter how you got buried. But you know, not only will it be fearsome, not only it includes every unsaved person. I'm glad I'm not there. You say, Brother Brian, how do you know you're not there? Because those whose name are in the book of life are excluded. Did you hear what I'm saying? Those whose names are in the book of life will not be there, because verse 15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life. You see, this is for the folks whose name was not in the book. Aren't you glad your name is in the book? I mean, if you know Jesus, aren't you glad? I'm so glad that when I made that decision and said yes to Jesus Christ, I'm so glad that my name was written in the book of life with the indelible ink of the blood of Christ, and that nobody can erase my name from the book. You can say anything you want to say, but I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am so glad my name is written in that book. But let me ask you, is your name in the book? One of the things that burdens the heart of a preacher of the gospel is to know that he's talking to individuals who are not sure their name is in the book of life, but they hope everything will work out okay. There's some of you hoping all will be well. My friend, it cannot be well if your name is not in the book of life. And it cannot get in the book of life unless you have come to the point where you have repented of your sin, acknowledged before God that you are a rotten sinner like the rest of us, and said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me of my sin. Be my Lord and my Savior. My friend, when you do that, your name is in the book. But you know the fourth thing about this final judgment, the sentence is the lake of fire. I was listening. Some of us were at my home a few years ago. I don't remember how many years. We had a young adults thing, and ABC had a documentary on hell. And so we stopped our program to watch this documentary on hell. And I couldn't believe one of the pop stars, he said he doesn't want to go to heaven. He said, I don't want to go to heaven. He says, I'd rather go to hell. He says, I'll have more fun there. He says, all of the cool people are going to be in hell. And so I want to go where the cool people are. You see, somehow we have a misconception of what hell is. You heard me say before, there's going to be a lot of light in hell, but it won't be strobe lights from a party. It's going to be the burning fire of hell, because my Bible tells me that in hell, the fire is never quenched. There's going to be a lot of noise in hell, but it's not from people party poppers. My Bible tells me that in hell, there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Listen, hell is no joke. My friend, this morning you said, Brother Brian, you're trying to scare us. Listen, I wish I could scare you into heaven, but I can't scare you. Only the Spirit of God can do a work in your heart. And this morning it is our prayer, and I hope Christians all over the audience are praying and joining me in prayer for those of you who don't know Jesus, who are not sure your name is in that book of life. I'm going to ask you Christians to be praying even as you're listening, that God, you might break somebody's stony heart. Help them to flee from the wrath to come. But then let me switch, because as our bulletin says, there is a big choice. There is hell on one side, but oh, there is heaven on the other side. So let's talk about the final home of the believer, heaven. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 2, we know it very well. In my Father's house, what? Are many mansions. He says, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you might be also. You know, some of us love watching some of these home hunter shows. Home hunters. Is that House Hunters? House Hunters International. I love that one more than the local one. And, you know, sometimes you watch Private Islands and you see some of these spectacular homes. 40,000 square foot. I don't know how big your mansion is or how big mine is. In fact, one version I told you said rooms. And I don't really care whether it's a 5,000 square foot or a 500 square foot. All I know, I'm going to be there. Amen. I'm going to be occupying a piece of heavenly real estate. And that's good enough for me. So do you mind if I take a minute to just tell you a little bit about this? Is it all right? Is it all right if I just tell you a little about this heavenly, my home? You know, we take all the time watching these other people's house. Can we talk about what ours is? I don't know where you live right now. You might like your house too much, but can we look at what is ahead? The 1 Corinthians 2:9, as you know, is one of the most powerful verses, because God is letting us know, listen, this is beyond your imagination. It says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the imagination of the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God is trying to help you to know, as active an imagination as you have, as brilliant a mind as you have, listen, nobody, no eye, no human being has yet been able to imagine what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is going to be all that and a bag of chips. Is that how they say it? 50,000 bags of chips. Listen, one, it's going to be a magnificent place. It's going to be a magnificent place. Revelation chapter 21, verses 18 to 20. Revelation 21, 18 to 20 tells me, here's what it tells me. It said here, the wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and on and on and on. Listen, we were in D.C., Washington, D.C., a couple months ago. I don't remember exactly when. I went to the Smithsonian Institute of Natural Sciences, I think it was the one, and we went into the gem room. And I want you to tell you, it was unbelievably spectacular. As you saw all these precious stones, many of them we have never heard of before. But it was unbelievably spectacular. But as I gazed at the beauty of all those gems, I could hardly not think of what heaven is going to be like. That these incredible things that we're God is so precious. Heaven is so spectacular that these things are in the foundation. You hear what I'm talking about? This is what the foundation of the city is made of, all of this stuff. And the Bible goes on to say that the streets are made of pure gold, as precious, as pure as glass. Listen, there ain't no gold up down here like that. There is no... This is a special type of gold. This is heavenly gold. Hallelujah. It will be a magnificent place. But then the second, it will be a place of undiminished glory. Look at verse 23 of chapter 21 of Revelation. It says there, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Undiminished, as bright as the sun is, it will not be able to rival the glory of the sun. You remember with Moses? What did Moses say to God? He said, show me your glory. Moses says, please, Lord, show me your glory. And here's what the Lord said to him. What did he say? Come on now, what did he say? He says, no man can see my glory and what? And live. You cannot see my glory and live. He says, what I'm going to do? I'm going to cover you up. I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock. I'm going to cover you. And then he says, I'm going to let you just see the back of the glory. I'm not going to allow you to see my face. But what a day it's going to be when his glory, we are going to be able to see the glory of God with unveiled faces. And we'll be able to stare at the glory of God. And listen, I don't even know. You know, part of why this is beyond my imagination is because not one of us has a clue what it is going to be like to look face to face at the glory of God. It will be a place of undiminished glory. But third, it will be a place of bliss. Revelation 21, verse number 4, it tells us there, verse number 4 says that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And as I prepared, I couldn't help but think, so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, so many in our own church, this year has been a tough year. Some of you have lost family members and close loved ones and close friends. It has been a tough one. But one day we're going to a place of bliss. A place there's going to be no more crying. A place there's going to be no more tears. An eternal place of bliss. Do you want to go there? Come on now. Do you want to go there? Are you sure you're going there? But listen. It gets better. It will be a place of relationship. The most exciting thing about heaven is that God will be dwelling with us. Look back up to verse 3 of Revelation chapter 21, verse number 3. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. My friend, as I'm trying to prepare, I still am not able to fully grasp the fact that, God, I am going to move into the neighborhood where God is. Oh, some of us like to get to the nice spots on earth. But just think of it. We are going to be in God's neighborhood. Listen, this is much better than what Adam had. You realize that? You say, Brother Brandon, Adam also have the privilege of coming and God would come and talk to him. Yes, God would come and visit. Right? My Bible says he would come down and talk to him in the cool of the day. But what we're talking about is not God coming down. We're talking about dwelling in the same neighborhood. I'm so glad I know Jesus. But guess what? Guess what? It's not going to be a one-way relationship. This is not going to be a one-way relationship. It's not only going to be that I loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus, but it's going to be two ways. There will be a constant reminder of how much we are treasured. Look at Revelation 21, 21. And it says the 12 gates were like 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. And I believe one of the things that the pearls will remind us of, you know, every bride likes to be treasured by her spouse. Listen, let me just give you, this is for free. Any of you husbands who are not treasuring your wives, you better start treasuring her. Not just saying I love you, treasure. She is your treasure and she should be treasured. But this, I believe, the pearl would remind us of what Jesus told us in Matthew 13, 45 and 46, where the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, and I tell you, I've never quite been able to deal with this, that the Bible is describing Jesus Christ as a pearl merchant seeking a perfect pearl. And the Bible says one, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Do you realize what he's saying? Do you know who is that pearl of great price? Do you know it's us? Listen, you're here this morning and you're messed up. Your life is a mess. You've done all sorts of stuff. I want you to know that if you would come to Jesus, here's what he's saying about you. He's saying you are worth it. He's saying you're a pearl of great price. And it says, listen, it says this merchant, when he found this pearl, he went and sold everything that he had. Isn't that what God did for us? Look at what Jesus did to save you and to save me. Jesus left the glories of heaven and he came down here. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was torn asunder. They spit upon him. He bore the wrath and the judgment for my sin in his body. When I get to heaven, when we get to heaven, the reminder of how precious we are to God will always be on display. For eternity, we will be able to recognize how much He loves us, how much He treasures us, and what an eternal crescendo of worship and glory as we worship our great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And now back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But finally, it will be a restricted place. Did you hear what I'm saying? Heaven is a restricted place. Acts access is restricted. Verse number 7 says of Revelation 21, he who overcomes will inherit all of this. Oh, my friend, would to God that this morning you would open your heart to Jesus. All of what we're talking about is yours to inherit. If this morning you would open your heart and say yes to Jesus, it's yours to inherit. But listen to what verse number 8 says. But the cowardly, the person who has not trusted Jesus because you're afraid of what your friends are going to say. And there's some of you right here afraid to trust Jesus because of some friend. You don't know what, you worry what somebody else is going to say. The Bible says the cowardly, the unbelieving, just realize it's not just the terrible things, the unbelieving, just the person who refuses to believe. The vile, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice magic, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Heaven is a restricted place. You're not just going to heaven because you want to go to heaven. You got to settle accounts with Jesus. You got to trust him as your Savior. Warren Wiersbe tells about a frontier town where a horse ran away with a wagon carrying a little boy. And a man, seeing that this child was in danger, he risked his life to catch the horse and stop the wagon. He saved this little boy's life. But you know, sadly, this little boy grew up and became a criminal. And eventually, the man who saved him turns out he was a judge. The little boy becomes a criminal, commits murder. He stands before the judge, and when he recognizes him, he reminds him, hey, remember you saved my life? He's assuming he's going to get a break. The judge said to him, that day, I was your savior. Today, I am your judge. My friend, you have to meet God, either as your savior or as your judge. The choice is yours. Do you want him to be your savior? If so, trust him today. I guarantee you, if you miss out on his being your savior, you're going to meet him as your judge, and you're going to hear these words, depart from me into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now. Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, This is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.